Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens. I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the Business Marketing Club. The BMC is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world, but if this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. AI brings some exciting new tools for business marketers. Here to talk about them is Doug Marshall, the MD of Achieve B2B Marketing. Doug, welcome to our podcast.
Hi, Dave. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here again. Before we start, tell us a bit about Achieve B2B.
Yep. Achieve B2B Marketing, it's an agency for the learning and development sector. So we help learning technologies, training providers, e-learning companies, professional associations with training revenues. We basically help them to grow through commercial strategy to implementation of marketing campaigns.
Got it. Well, in that case, it sounds like you're in a really, really good position to talk to us about some of these exciting new business marketing tools. But before we actually get there, we said that these were all tools that were bought by AI. So I'm going to start with a really 101 question, if I may. What do you mean by AI?
It's a very, very good question. Artificial intelligence is essentially, it's a set of tools to solve problems. I looked at a couple of definitions in terms of preparations for this, and I looked at one by the media business Forbes. They describe AI as a branch of computer science dealing with the simulation of intelligent behavior in computers. And secondly, Salesforce describes AI as the concept of having machines perform tasks like reasoning, planning, learning, and understanding language. But I feel when we talk about artificial intelligence, there are some myths about it. And one of them actually is the concept of intelligence, because the term is slightly misleading, as in artificial intelligence. Well, there's nothing sentient in AI technologies. You know, artificial intelligence doesn't have our sense of comprehension that we would attribute to human beings. And some have described AI as being like a new intern. You know, you might give it some tasks, but you're always going to check results when you get them. So there's that myth around artificial intelligence. The other is that it's a new thing. You know, it's not a new thing. Some people attribute artificial intelligence to a Greek mathematician called Euclid 2,500 years ago, when he wrote down an algorithm on a bit of papyrus. Other people say AI started really with the English mathematician Alan Turing. Do you remember he was played by Benedict Cumberbatch in The Imitation Game? And he wrote down this paper in 1950. Of course, lots of things have happened since. We've had cloud computing and the real advancements in computer chips. And that led to what happened in November last year with the launch of ChatGPT, which, of course, brought artificial intelligence to a lot of people's, showed the imagination, the technology, the tools and tasks you can do with artificial intelligence. So it does go back a little way.
But it is fair to say, isn't it, that with ChatGPT, that's the thing that's kind of created the current explosion. I mean, you and I were talking earlier, and, you know, I think for every episode of this podcast I've done, and now weekly, by the way, you can get them from your local podcast supplier. For every one I've done, I must have been approached by 6 or 7 organizations or people wanting to talk about AI in some form.
Yeah. But it's a very interesting area, and I think it's going to transform marketing, and it's going to really changed the way we do a lot of marketing. I did actually a poll for this podcast on
I
LinkedIn.
Took part in it.
You did take part, Dave. And it's quite interesting. So I asked the question, are you using AI in your marketing? And there were the four answers, all over it, use it each week. That got 32%. So about a third of B2B marketers from my very small sample of 22 people are using it. 55% were dabbling or experimenting. Interesting. 5% were not yet, but I know I need to. And 9% were no, I'm pretty skeptical. So you can see there, most marketers are using it in some respects. But
I was in the 55%. I didn't want to commit to being all over it because it feels to me like it's changing pretty rapidly at the moment. And so those people who fell into the all over it category, I have my admiration. I don't feel that. I don't feel that I have firstly the bandwidth to be able to keep on top of all of the developments, but secondly I don't quite know what's going to come next, so to be that confident wasn't something I felt. But I did feel that, you know, I could point to it many of the state, not all actually, but many of the stages of B2B marketing, there were points where I could say, yes, and we use AI here.
Yep, absolutely. And I think it's important also to remember that, again, another myth is it's one technology. And what it is actually is a constellation of lots of different technologies. From, you know, the generative AI, which is about creating text, pictures and videos. You've got that diagnostic AI, which analyzes and diagnoses data using algorithms. So there are lots of different technologies that have come together. A lot of them are being combined, particularly in the last year. But actually, we've all been using AI and not really knowing it. For example, if you've spoken to Siri or you've got a really good Amazon recommendation, you know, you've been using AI for a while.
I feel, Doug, at this, you know, because the bulk of our conversation is going to be around opportunities. It feels to me that we need to kind of share up front the small print and do the pitfalls of AI first. What do you think?
Yeah, let's get them out of the way. They are important to understand. And I say a lot of marketers, well, probably most of us, we're all probably excited about AI, but we're also probably a bit fearful about AI. So I think we all need to really learn about AI and really get to know it better. But there are some pitfalls. The first is definitely around content quality. You know, if you can use ChatGPT to write copy, well, you know, if you're like me, you've had a go. Let's see how it can do. And generally, the quality of copywriting is often quite bland. There's not really much character to it. So you really have to be careful. I love a newsletter I get from a copywriter called Dave Harland, and he showed the iterations that he goes to create really well-crafted copy. And often then he will share what he asked a chatbot to do. And you can see the differences in quality between well-crafted copy and something that a chat GPT or something like that can do. And it is vastly different. So we need to be really aware of that. Mark Ritson also was ranting about LinkedIn putting an AI thing in when you're doing a post, then LinkedIn can somehow create your post using AI. And I think he's right, as in Dave Harland, you need to be very, very careful when you're using these technologies to write copy. For a start, they can be really inaccurate, you know, and I've tried getting it to do some things for me, and it's a lot of the times it just comes back with false information. So if you try and get it to write copy, often you'll get incorrect stuff back. I think it's good for doing things like creating structures for you and giving you some ideas. It's great for idea generation. You know, I'll ask it a question, but yeah, you really need to consider data quality and content quality. The other thing is we're all pretty still new to this. So, you know, when you're using something like ChatGPT or getting DALL-E to do a picture for you, you know, there are certain things you need to learn for how to do it well. There's this new thing, prompt engineering, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later, about why it's so good to have a kind of a structure and a process when you're using some of these tools. There are also some ethical concerns we all need to be aware of. Big thing coming down the line, market researchers will be really interested in this, is emotion recognition. So we've all heard of facial recognition. There is now emotion recognition. So I'm looking at you on this screen, Dave.
And your AI is telling you he's looking grumpy. I think the emotion recognition on me would probably be stuck.
Well, this one thing I was looking at recently, it can actually recognize up to 98 emotions. I don't know if grumpy was actually one of those. But there's a lot of inbuilt bias still in some of these programs, and it was analyzing different faces and different ethnicities, and actually it was interpreting emotions differently between different ethnicities. So we need to be aware of these concerns, and you know, just you know, really really think about how well it's actually being produced. I spoke to a few B2B marketers before. And I asked them, what was holding you back and what sort of things were you doing? Some people, actually, particularly in professional services marketing, were really worried about IP issues. You know, yes. If you got ChatGPT to write some copy or DALL-E to create an image, you know, people are still just a little bit nervous about IP issues. There's also an issue around deep fakes as well. I don't know if you saw the story about Tom Hanks. And this dental plan company created a Tom Hanks video extolling the versions of this dental plan. Well, it had nothing to do with Tom Hanks, but that technology does exist now where it can create those deep fakes. So we all need to be aware of these things as B2B marketers.
Good shouts. But I'm keen to kind of spin this towards the optimistic, because actually it does offer huge opportunities for us as business marketers. So I've asked you about the pitfalls. Why don't you tell me about the advantages of using AI?
Yeah. By the way, AI, using AI can be a lot of fun for a start. You know, you can challenge it to do some things, and you can do lots of experiments. Yeah, I think as marketers, we need to be curious people. We need to be willing to experiment. And I would just encourage marketers to try lots of things out, try lots of different tools. One thing it is great is to make you more efficient, and we'll go through a few tools in a minute that I've used and found really useful. ChatGPT is the best known of those tools, and it still is really one of the best. For example, you can ask it to do some things like create a structure for a marketing plan, or give it a scenario and ask it to write some questions. And so those sorts of things, it's really good for doing that. I think that's, at the moment, I think it's all about efficiencies. That's where I think the biggest advantages for B2B marketers are. But the more it can make you efficient, then that can leave you other times to be more effective and more creative. Mm-hmm. So there's some tools I would like to go through. But I would like to say we need to create the right environment for using AI. And there's some things we need to do to be able to get these efficiencies. One is to really understand and mitigate the risks. And we've talked about some of those a little earlier. The second, I would say, start with some pilot. You know, if you're doing a marketing plan, think about what sort of things can we include in that marketing plan. Talk to your team about some pilot projects they can do. I would also say give them the psychological safety to do certain things. You know, say, you know, we want you to experiment. We want you to test and learn. And also don't rely on AI. It definitely needs human intervention. Like I mentioned with the sort of the intern, don't rely on it. It often won't be accurate. It often won't be correct. So you really need to check things. And also be purposeful. You know, if you're thinking about AI and you want to do some experiments you think will drive efficiencies. So write some things down. You know, what is taking us a long time to do at the moment? That's laborious. And let's think about what problems we have as a marketing team where we can try and find solutions that AI can help. And the other thing I would say is then communicate those things. You know, make sure around the marketing team you're sharing successes, or even sharing failures. Now, what didn't work using AI tools? But make sure you're trying to experiment and seeing what's possible. And because there are a lot of tools that you can use. And again, a lot of them are really fun as well.
Okay. So those are kind of some of the advantages. I think you probably also kind of touched a little bit on my next question, which was kind of about how we get started. But maybe you could perhaps take us on a bit of a tour around some of the exciting new tools that are coming on board from an AI perspective. I'm particularly interested in your avatars story, I think, Doug, which I know you've had most recent experience with.
Yeah, so recently I ran a conference. It was called the Business of Training Conference. And I was thinking about how we could use AI to make the marketing really interesting. And one of the themes about the conference was how training providers could use AI. So I thought it'd be a good idea to use AI to promote the conference. And I found a sponsor in a company called Synthesia. Synthesia is a really interesting company. And they've created these digital AI avatars. And if you think about it, this is another thing when we think about efficiencies. If you think about it, if you want to create a video with someone speaking to camera, what are all the things that are involved in that? Well, you've got to have a presenter. You've got to have someone doing the lighting, someone doing the makeup, someone doing the editing. There's lots of different people that are going to be involved in actually shooting that video. Well, with Synthesia, you can pretty much write a script, then you go onto the platform, you can choose a relevant face that you want to use, you can choose a voice, you can choose an accent, you can even choose a language. So say, for example, you want a video in three languages, at the click of a button, it can pretty much produce it for you.
Wow.
I thought, what can we do in a LinkedIn post? You know, we all want to stop the scroll, don't we? So for this LinkedIn post, I thought, well, let's create two characters, Heidi and Harold. Harold was going to be the slightly skeptical person about AI, and Heidi was going to be more upbeat and more positive. And it was great writing the video script, and the guys from Synthesia helped me produce it. But it's really easy to do. And the thing about that technology, it's going to change so much. I've got two teenage boys, and it's been quite interesting watching them play FIFA over the last decade and how the sort of animation has changed in players' faces. To now you look at them watching FIFA and you think, are you watching a game or are you playing FIFA? And with these digital avatars now, they're so realistic. And they do things like, even they look at things like blink ratios. You know, what's blink ratios? It's how many times it's natural for us to blink in a minute, because they want to get that accurate. And so they've got whole teams looking at, you know, how the eyebrows work and how your body changes when you breathe. So these avatars will be as realistic as possible.
Wow.
So definitely something, if you like having video and you like having a face to a camera, Synthesia and other digital avatars are available. It's definitely worth looking at them and doing some experimentation.
Great.
So yeah, that's
are there other tools that you would call to our attention to?
Yes, I would. And again, it's thinking about, so what things take us time. I don't know about you, Dave, but like writing up notes after a meeting and writing action points, that is so tedious, isn't it?
Yeah,
normally
I'm going to
I
do all of
handwrite
that
it.
This evening. I'm not looking forward to it.
Often I write it down, then you're trying to sort of read what you wrote and make sure you're getting the action points correctly. So in preparation for in doing the marketing and having lots of meetings about this conference, someone introduced me to a tool called read.ai, and basically you can sync it with your calendar, and then this sort of bot comes on your meeting and it provides a transcription of the meeting. It records the meeting, and then here's the bit I love: it then writes a summary of the meeting. So you've got your sort of your meeting notes. Now there's a bit of a privacy issue there. You need to make sure everyone is okay with them being recorded on the meeting. But for, you know, for busy marketers, it's quite a cool tool, I think. The other thing is, I often work with companies where we do videos, and you know, you sort of I don't do a lot of video editing myself, so you have to give instructions to companies to where to cut and where to start. Well, I was using a tool called Opus Clip recently, because I did an hour long webinar, and I wanted to get some clips from it, and it's again going through a video and trying to select the parts which would work takes a lot of time. Well, Opus Clips, you basically you load the video up, and it gives you a transcription of the video, and it finds clips, and it might find 12 for you. You're not going to use them all. It does really cool captions as well for you, so you can, you know, load it to social media. So that's just going to save you a ton of time, and I found it surprisingly good, really.
And also, I think you want to tell us a bit about Otter AI.
Yeah, well, that's another one that can do transcription. Again, if you're doing a lot of market research and you're doing interviews with customers, that's another really good one to use. So that, and you can, I think you can load that to your calendar as well. So there's those sorts of tools that are really great for saving time. There's also ones for sort of content and ideas generation. Now we did touch upon the fact that, you know, it's you need to be very, very cautious if you're getting ChatGPT or Google Bard or Bing to write copy for you. You know, there are some areas, and you know, maybe if you've got you've got a lot of product descriptions you need to write, and you've just maybe got hundreds to do, you know, maybe you've got a sort of a directory, you know, it's worth experimenting with that. ChatGPT-4 is now doing a thing where it's kind of object aware. So if you point an object at it, or rather you load a photo, it can describe what's in that photo. So again, I think it's definitely at least worth experimenting, but again, being cautious first about the quality. And by the way, if you're, you know, getting sort of things like ideas generation, or getting ChatGPT or Google Bard or Microsoft's AI powered Bing, it's good to really give it a structure. So don't just ask a question when you go into it. And first of all, I'd recommend explaining a scenario. For example, you're a marketer appearing on a well-regarded B2B marketing podcast, might be your scenario, and provide a deliverable, might be give me some bullet points and ideas for what I would talk about when I'm talking about AI on that podcast for B2B marketers. And then you might want to give it some specific examples, specific instructions. Maybe it's a call to action you want at the end. So, you know, three things that you should do when you're actually giving instructions to a chatbot. The other amazing thing, have you seen these computer generated pictures going around at the moment, Dave?
There's quite a lot of them.
They are. What do you think of them?
I think for me they fall into the category of kind of overwhelming content. You know, what I think the, you know, one of the consequences of these really exciting tours is that more content, whether it's imagery or whether it's text or video, it doesn't really matter. You know, more content is going to be generated. And so I would say that for marketers, they actually create both a challenge and an opportunity. You know, our opportunity is, you know, our job, our reason for being is to try and be distinctive and to stand out. And you know what? There are tools out there that mean that, you know, parts of our job have become a hell of a lot easier. And then there are other parts of our job that have become so much more difficult. And yeah. what I see becoming more difficult is there's just more and more content out there now. And, you know, as you said, we're only at the start of this. So actually finding that cut through is going to become so much more important and so much more difficult in coming years.
Yeah. And you're right. Having that distinctive voice. And that's why I think, you know, I've said it's really important to be, I think, both cautious and enthusiastic, but also to be willing to experiment.
Yes.
I mean, I was looking at what you can do in, there's the ones to look at are DALL-E, Midjourney, and Adobe Firefly, and they're becoming much more realistic. You know, you really can produce photos now. What they look like photos, and you can be very, very accurate in terms of describing this is what I want to have in the photo. So it's definitely worth having a look at. Yeah, but as you say, you know, is it really gonna make you be distinctive? I just think it's experiments another thing. I mean, that they're also creating videos as well. I was looking at an app called Runway and was giving it some instructions to create small videos, and you know that they're fairly cool. You know, if you want to do a, I don't know, a goat running through Seville, if that's what you want, you know, you can have that.
I'm sure I can find a use for it.
So, you know, as I say, I'm not advocating exactly what you should do. I'm saying that have an attitude where you can experiment with some of these tools. I've been using another tool called for decision making. Agent GPT is another tool, and you can put a request in saying, "I want you to create a marketing plan and all the actions to that go into creating a marketing plan." And it can create a very good project plan for you. You know, it might not be exactly right, but it's worth trying to see, would that save you time and sort of, rather than doing things from scratch. And a lot of these tools, particularly these GPT tools, is, you know, it will just save you, rather than starting from scratch, it will give you something which might just give you a good foundation, which could save you half a day if you were going to just do it from scratch yourself.
Right.
And it's also, you know, bearing in mind, you know, look for tools that have got AI in it. And I would say, a little bit of a skeptical hat, because probably most platforms now will be saying at the moment, you know, we've got AI in it. But things like Sprout Social, for example, they've got AI to determine the best time to send an email. So it's good to seek out the tools that have AI to see how that can help you.
Great advice. I love your advice. You know, be curious. This is a time to experiment and see what works
Absolutely.
For you.
Yeah.
That's really, really great advice. So thank you, Doug Marshall, MD of Achieve B2B Marketing. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave. An absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Doug Marshall. Thanks to our technical person, Alicia Gratian. And thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk.